Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Just a quick note before we get started with today's episode. This podcast is supported by the amazing team at TRX. Their suspension trainers are designed for pros and built for everybody to use wherever you are. I see these in high-end gyms and the homes of trainers, coaches, and fitness enthusiasts like me all over the world.
The TRX app contains more than 1,000 videos to train you at your level and improve you every day.
TRX is the world's most versatile, affordable, and effective gym, and we're happy and proud that they're sponsoring the Quality of Life podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Quality of Life podcast, hosted by me, Raham Harreg, the youngest Arab and the first Saudi woman to climb Everest and the Seven Summits.
And today, we're meeting Charlie. Charlie Guest is a Scottish World Cup alpine ski racer. She's the first British woman ever to win in an alpine European Cup race and qualified for her second Winter Olympic Games in Beijing, helping Team Great Britain reach the quarterfinal. She also suffered a career-threatening crash on the slopes in 2014, which left her with four broken vertebrae. Charlie, thank you so much for being part of Quality of Life podcast with me. Because it's called Quality of Life, we always like to start with, what does quality of life mean to you?
Quality of life to me is all about your human connection or your connections to where you are and to the people around you. And the sense of belonging that you have either in what you're doing, where you are, or the people that you're with. And I think when you have these connections and belonging, everything feels easy. And for me anyway, it brings me a lot of happiness. And so it's one of the things that really has started to guide me in my decision making. And keeps me happy.
Whenever I hear these questions, I always ask, does that apply to me? And 90% of the time, it does. Charlie, you get affected by people. So I'm wondering, who's someone who has inspired you to be the person you are today?
Oh, this is always such a hard question for me because I feel like there's never been one person that has been my solid source of inspiration. There's always been, it kind of changes along the way, whether that is other female athletes that are paving the way for our sports or a sport in general. You know, you've got Serena Williams out there, who's one of the greatest athletes of all time, and she really took a stand for women's sport and equality and inclusion in sport, which is amazing to see as a young athlete growing up. And then I've got people like my mom, who really instilled the values of hard work and determination and just giving my best in everything I've got. And so I'd say that as I've moved through my life, it sort of depends what situation I'm in as to who I'm drawing inspiration from. But in general, whenever I come across a strong woman, I feel like, what have you been through to make you this person, and what have you stood up against that's given you the outlook that you have? And that's always something that I really try to draw on and really try to understand what the lessons are that they've learned and how I can incorporate that into my own life.
We have very similar inspirations. In addition to people, we get affected and we are inspired by books or by stories. What's a book you'd like to share with our listeners?
Oh, the one that jumps to mind actually is called Space Below My Feet by Gwen Moffitt. And she was, she is a British climber. And she sort of was the first woman to go out and sort of attempt a lot of really hard climbing routes. I'm not a climber myself, to be honest, but I love outdoor sports and I'd love to get into climbing. Her story is one of just, I'm going to do it. That looks fun. That looks great. Like, I want to do that. I'll do it. And she sort of was in an environment where she had no money. She had no one really showing her what to do. And she kind of just muddled through and got stuff done. And I think that's a pretty cool, cool way to live your life. So it's a book I recommend to so many people. So if you haven't read it already, please go and pick up a copy.
because my background is in climbing, I know exactly who she is and I can completely relate. And if you ever want advice on where to start climbing, I'm happy to help you.
Thank you. I think I'll need it. The rope work scares me.
Because I did that. I'm happy to help. I did that for like a decade. So I know how overwhelming it is to start thinking of climbing. But yeah, where are you calling from? Where do you live?
So I'm from Perth in Scotland.
Okay. So you have lots of really nice neighbors where you can climb. And also in Scotland, you have really nice hikes. And
exactly.
I've been there. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, so it's quite really a lovely climbing community. I guess sort of attached onto the side of the alpine skiing community. Like we're all outdoor focused and love being outdoors. And so it's just another side of it. So yeah, something I'm looking forward to getting into.
I envy you for having such beautiful typography and you're just spoiled with options. It's amazing. Can you tell us more about your day-to-day? You're active, you have a professional life, you have a career, but you also have a personal life. So can you walk us through what's your day-to-day like?
Yeah, so I suppose I've got quite a few bits and pieces going on. You don't actually know this, or nobody actually knows this yet. So you're actually the first podcast that will be finding out about this.
We're honored.
Yeah, is that I have just made the decision to retire from professional sport. And I maybe should have told you this before. But yeah, I have just made
not at all. I'm honored for you to share this with us.
The announcement's going out. Well, the main sort of one is going out at midday today on my social media. So yeah, my day to day is starting to change. But as a professional athlete, training always came first. I would have a couple of training sessions to do every day and the rest of my day slotted in around that. The thing that I have been really focused on keeping in my daily routine is still learning. And I started university back in 2019, 11 years after I left school, studying psychology, which has been a really important addition to my daily routine, because it's given me another identity and it's given me something else on the side that I can focus on that isn't just results and my athletic pursuit. In terms of social life, again, that's been something that is really hard to fit in, but I have made it a priority to try and attend friends' weddings or family events and things like that, which I'm sure, as you know, are always really hard to fit in around a routine that is dependent on a season or the weather or actually just the number of days that you can get done. And so sometimes traveling around the country trying to get to social events is just absolutely not the one. But yeah, I have an amazing partner, Callum, who I live with, and at least I get to see every day that I'm home, which is lovely. But in retirement, that is definitely one of my, well, retirement in my second career, social life and seeing my friends and family and really sort of prioritizing those relationships is an absolute must for me.
I totally relate. I missed a few really important weddings when I was climbing, my climbing, like my heyday. So I relate a lot. And it's very difficult for you to juggle when this is your like bread and butter and you're like constantly focused on one thing. It's hard sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. You kind of end up feeling bad, right? Sometimes for like going to the social events, and sometimes they may be like you don't get enough sleep or they impact then on the next day's training or 2 days training time. And yeah, it's an interesting balance to try and hit. But it's one that like you can't cut it out. For me anyway, and my personality, trying to cut that aspect out of my life is an absolute no-go.
Oh, I think it's critical to have that balance when you have your own time and then your friends' time. Juggling social life was one of the most challenging but most rewarding. You get battery charged when you're around people you love and loved ones. And it's critical to have people that understand you. I'm very happy to hear that you have a partner who's supportive. You mentioned your bits and pieces of your life, but you didn't mention food. And food is such an important part of any person, but more so any athlete's life. So I would like to know, what's your relationship with food? And very honest question, what's your cheat sheet or what's your guilty pleasure?
Oh, okay.
Be honest.
So my relationship with food has been interesting. Now is totally fine. As a kid, totally fine. But I suppose when I was around sort of 17, 18, and I think it's probably the same for a lot of female athletes of that age or of my generation, where social media was just starting to become a thing. And there became this picture of what you were supposed to look like as a female athlete. And that was zero body fat, abs out all the time, like really toned, muscly, and all that kind of thing. And even though I'm not in a sort of weight-related sport, in fact, being slightly heavier is more helpful because we need gravity, obviously, to get down the hill quicker. I found myself really striving to be in this place of as little body fat as possible. And that was like an aim for me at some point, because I was so influenced by what I was seeing online, and then didn't particularly have the guidance that I maybe needed from my sports team at that time as to what the best nutritional practice was. But, you know, luckily after a couple of years, support did come into place and really taught me how nutrition worked. And for me, my sort of ethos around food became, as long as I'm getting all of the fueling that I need to effectively get the most out of my training sessions and being able to complete those training sessions, I don't mind if I add something extra on the side, like a bit of cake's not going to hurt me as long as I don't go mental. So yeah, I'd say it's pretty healthy these days. And my cheat thing, like, I can go for so many things. I mean, at the moment it's just been Easter in the UK. So cream eggs have become a little bit of an obsession.
I've never had those.
You've never had cream eggs? Oh, it's no. Do you know what they are?
No.
No, okay. So it's a chocolate shell in an egg shape, and inside is this like fondant-y liquid, like sort of gooey.
So it's not an actual egg. It's a chocolatey egg.
Yeah.
It's a chocolatey egg.
Yeah, it's a chocolate.
Oh, that sounds nice.
And nice. They're extremely sugary, but delicious. Absolutely delicious. And
I want to try that.
Yeah, with my career, obviously, I've spent a lot of time in Europe and stuff. And so I'd say it's a pretty British treat, probably a British treat. And so kind of get back here and I'm like, oh, they're in the shops now. I've been like just sort of every time I go in, like get a couple.
They look so yummy.
They are delicious. Look them up afterwards.
I know what they are now. I just didn't know their names, but I know what they are.
Yeah, I'll maybe send you some. But yeah, no, they are great.
Thank you.
And then savory side, like for me, nothing beats pizza. In fact, I probably don't even count that as a cheat, like I eat it so much. So that's fine. It's just bread, cheese, and tomato and a few bits, right? So can't be that bad for you.
You can't go wrong with a good crusted pizza.
Oh, no.
I think you can.
Absolutely not.
You can't go wrong.
Yeah.
I just don't like thick, soggy pizza.
No,
I like a good crusted pizza where it crunches in the right places and it's nice and soggy when there's cheesy places.
Yeah.
Lately, I've been craving and dying over pistachio, which is really weird. I started with like pistachio mushi, and now I've been like pistachio paste on cake and stuff. Even though I was never really sweet tooth, but lately, I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's being sick for the last 3 months makes me like a little bit hungry.
Yeah.
It's weird. What's your approach to wellness? How would you describe your mentality towards wellness?
Wellness as in like the wellness movement, or like looking after yourself in general?
Self-love and looking after yourself. For example, for me, it's always been having a sport to keep me going. Okay, maybe it's not mountaineering because you can't really climb the whole year, right? Unless you're a pro, you'll go broke and it's really expensive, and I'm in the Middle East, I can't just climb whenever I want. So for example, for me, volleyball is my wellness. I like having volleyball as the anchor of activity in my life. It helps me get my sleep back into rhythm. It helps me, you know, reduce stress and so on. So that's what I mean by wellness. Some people like to meditate. Some people like to do something called movement, which this is something new that I've met recently, friends that do that. They do movement, and some people just like to run. So what do you think is your take on wellness?
My take on it, I think, is just being outside, actually. Just making sure that I'm getting time outside. Like, I'm such a lover of the outdoors. I kind of don't actually mind, I suppose, what activity I'm doing outside as long as I am outside. Like, I suppose in lockdown, I got really into gardening. I think for me, just because I'm training, well, I was up until a few weeks ago, training day in, day out, trying to do something else that was really effortful, like running or whatever, extra. I would just get too tired. So gardening I found to be an absolutely amazing thing for me in terms of you have to have so much patience. You like switch off from the world. Obviously, I'm living in a place where there's loads of rain and everything. So everything grows pretty well. Yeah, I just loved creating something. It really sort of let the creative side of me come out. But being outside in the garden, you can't have a phone or anything because your hands are muddy. Even listening to a podcast would be annoying because like you'd have to adjust your headphones. They'd get muddy as well. So it was just like totally switched off, totally in the zone, being creative with what I was doing, but also having to have the patience and sort of watch your work and everything sort of come to life over the different seasons of the year. And anytime I would come home from training camp, I'd be like rushing out to the garden, like seeing where everything is and seeing what's going on. So yeah, that has been my latest thing, but being outside for me is just, and connecting to the nature around you has been so important.
I relate. There's something so rewarding into seeing something grow, yeah, and seeing something flourish. So I like the most of the world, I got into gardening when I was in COVID as well. I went back to my family's house in Saudi. The weather wasn't as good because it was during the summer. And unfortunately, all my plants died, barred one. it's still there. But there's something so soothing and so rewarding about gardening, right?
Yeah. And then like all the wildlife kind of comes in and around. Like I've got a robin nesting in my garage at the moment. And I'm just like, it's like a new little pet. Like every day I'm going out like checking on it. Is it all right? And it sounds so like, yeah, it's just something, there's something quite special about it. And maybe it's that connection or belonging or whatever that I was talking about before in that, yeah, it's something you've created, but everything can enjoy. Which is really nice.
No, I relate. And speaking to belonging, mashallah, you belong to a very, very special group of women. You are well accomplished. You have so many achievements. I would love to know what's the thing you're most proud of. What's the thing that's at the top of the mantle for you?
I am really proud of the fight that I am able to, not a physical fight, but the fight I'm able to build up like within myself to either stand up for what is right or to go after what I want. And I think that's probably been instilled in me by my mum a little bit with her work ethic, but also perhaps because I'm a little bit stubborn and I have quite a strong sense of my values, I think. And so recently, sort of standing up for women in sport has been something that I am incredibly proud of, and I've been able to use my voice for really positively. We had a World Junior Championships in alpine skiing, and the organizing committee decided to show all of the men's races but only half of the women's races on a YouTube live stream. So it's not, you know, it's not as if it's an international broadcast, but it was like a huge thing. You know, and for junior athletes as well, this is for some of them the first opportunity they've had to be at a bigger event or have their families at home be able to watch them live. And that was an opportunity that just wasn't given to the girls. And I wrote a letter, an open letter to FIS that, or that's our FIS, it's our international governing body, that basically outlined that why it was so wrong and like, ask them to just be like, what on earth are you doing? And it garnered so much support from the skiing community that I was just, yeah, I was really proud of actually just standing up in that moment for what I believed in. And I'm hoping that can continue. I'd say it's that internal fight. Results wise, I would say it would have to be my first European Cup win. I was the first British female alpine skier to win one. And that will always be important to me. But I think that also stems from the fight inside.
No, I love that you stood up for it, because if we don't stand up for it, then the next generation will suffer. And then that's how we managed to get to where we are. The generation before us suffered for us to reach to where we want to be.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You already mentioned this, but I would like to know in detail, what are the challenges you faced? I mean, your sport was very male-dominated, and as you mentioned, even till now, it's perceived to be that it's more men-centered or more important, like the example you gave for the video. So I would love to know, what are the biggest challenges you faced in your sport?
We could be here all day talking about this, to be honest. I really try not to talk about it too much, because otherwise, like, everyone's going to get such a negative view of alpine skiing. But really, it is a fantastic sport. It's really good fun. You get outside. The biggest challenge is, yeah, I'd say as I get older, my eyes are opened more to the male domination of our sport and how much things are geared towards the men that you don't even realize. Like, the equipment is quite often based off of a male physique, and the clothing is quite often unisex, which is based on men. And then you get into training programs, which I guess is quite a lot of people know, like, women haven't been taking part in clinical trials really until the last 20 years. So quite a lot of the training programs that I grew up doing were designed for guys and just given to us girls as like, okay, we'll do a few less reps or do a lower weight or whatever. And so when I look back on it, you know, I've suffered from a lot of injuries. And I broke my back in 2014, so like 10 years ago now, and I broke 4 vertebrae, and it took me 5 years to really recover from that kind of an injury. And I just think, I wonder if it could have been slightly different. I'd say that there is that. And, you know, obviously then there's the financial side of competing in a sport that isn't funded by your government. So always finding sponsors, finding independent funding has been a real barrier, I would say, or a real challenge that I've faced throughout my career. And again, then it's easier for guys to make more money in these sports when there is like an old boys network, or contracts for men look slightly different than they do for women from a number of commercial sponsors. So yeah, those are the biggest challenges. And besides the obvious, like, injuries and finances in general.
But bravo on you for overcoming them and still being able to carve a name for yourself and not being weighed down by the boy club, because a lot of women can really have talent and have opportunity, but don't really have the skin thickness or the resilience to not fall under the pressure of being in a boy, trying to fight the boys club. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think to begin with, I didn't see it, if I'm honest. I didn't realize that the environment I was in was so male dominated. Again, I think that's largely thanks to my mum, who kind of brought me up as like not being treated any different than my brother, for example, or the guys around me, and kind of taught like, no, you do what they do. You just get involved and just be yourself. And so, yeah, that was really nice. That ignorance was bliss. And then you start to realize, hold on a second, like, that's different for them than it is for me. And why are those opportunities more easily open for them than they are for me? Why is that TV time more for them than it is for me, even if my results are the same? And yeah, it has weighed on me, I would say. But yeah, and that's something I'm really excited about, I suppose, for the next chapter in my career, is being able to use my voice to kind of iron out a few of these things, maybe for the next generation, and use those things that I've learned for good, just for the next group of girls, because they deserve it.
It weighed on you, but it didn't
put you down. It made you stronger, absolutely. You wouldn't have been the person you are today had they won. So take solace in knowing that even though it was very difficult, in the end you won because you broke the barrier and you didn't fall under the trap of you know, you're a girl, you can't do these things. So bravo on you for being able to fight. Yeah, because we tend to not give credit for ourselves because I'm the same. I'm the same. I don't see what I've achieved in my sporting career as something big. And then I'm reminded from time to time through friends and peers. So I'm doing the same for you. I'm paying it forward.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
it's absolutely, you've overcome it and you're an inspiration to many. You've mentioned this and we're honored that you had an announcement, but I would love to know even more in detail in the new chapter in Charlie's life now. You're starting a new chapter.
Yeah.
Different to the one before, but just as important. So what's that looking like?
Yeah, no, I'm incredibly excited, actually. Like, I am sad to leave professional sport as in an athlete capacity behind, and I'll always be sad that I maybe didn't stand on top of an Olympic podium or a World Cup podium. But yeah, as you said, I think I can walk away proud of what I've achieved and proud of the barriers that I have one more year of university left. I'm studying psychology. So I've got my last year to complete with that, which I'm really excited about. I'm going to be doing my thesis on injuries in professional athletes and how they cope. So that is quite appropriate for me, I would say. And after that, I'm really not 100% sure, but the one thing that I am set on is that I really love my sport. I really love alpine skiing. I still want to be involved somehow. Maybe just on the other side of the fence, but I think everything I've learned and the experience I've got, I really want to be able to pay that forward and showcase the incredible characters and talent that we have within alpine skiing. Just show the world what the athletes can do and especially what the girls can do. And whatever that looks like, whether that's on TV, whether that's commentating, whether that's broadcasting, whether it's in the sports politics world, I don't know, but I'm excited to see what the opportunities are once I've got this year of university out of the way, because that's also important in that I need this year, I think, to focus in on myself and give myself the rest and nurture, I suppose, that I'm needing after 15 years of sort of pushing myself to the absolute limit every day. Yeah, I need that time to decompress a bit, connect with my friends and family, like I've said before, and then see what opportunities are there or what opportunities I can create once I'm finished uni.
There are so many aspiring female and male athletes, I'm sure, listening to this. What's something you'd like them to know? What's a word of wisdom that you'd like to share that helped you along your journey?
Ooh, okay. I think one thing that I always came back to quite often was I had a coach, maybe when I was about 14, had said to me, if you're looking at two options, the easy option is probably the wrong one. Put in the hard work and you'll be one step closer towards your goals, or at least be getting towards your goals in the right way. That seems really simple, but sometimes it takes a little bit of thinking about the options in front of you and thinking, am I taking this option just because it's the path of least resistance, or is it actually the best one for my future or for the goal that I'm working towards?
Yeah. I think the world is split into two types of people. Those who see an easy path and say, yeah, I'll take it. And those who see an easy path and question, why is it easy?
Why is it easy? Exactly.
Why is it easy?
That's what I was missing there. It was like, why is this easy? Like,
why is this easy?
Getting out of it, what I need.
And whenever I find something easy, I always question, well, why didn't anyone else did it? And then you find out that it's easy because it's common. It's because it's what's, you know, we say in Arabic, mu'tad, what is used to, what is common. Mu'tad is common in English. And there's nothing wrong with common. A lot of people like common, a lot of people like comfort, but it's those of us who can't live in the common are the ones that go after the difficult roads. And that's what separates the lines of history between the names it chooses and the names that it forgets. So that's how I see life. Regardless of
You wanted your Olympic podium and the World Cup podium, regardless of that. Take solace in knowing that you have absolutely carved your name in history, absolutely. And you're one of those people who chose the difficult path. So as we say, like you lift your head up in Arabic, rafat al-ras in Arabic, we say like lift your head up in pride, because you achieved incredible things and you've inspired so many people to overcome also your difficult accident. So regardless of whether or not, I know the feeling, last year I really wanted to, because I play beach volleyball for Saudi. First year, I was very fortunate. I got the first prize. Second year, I unfortunately 4 points away from the first prize again. And I was devastated. But in the end, I thought I was the only Saudi girl in the final. I was the only Saudi local female to play. That's something.
That's really something. Cool.
I didn't get the gold medal, but at least I represent something that I didn't have growing up. I didn't have females who climbed and played beach volleyball and so on. So I salute you for the incredible journey, and I can't wait to see what you do in the future.
And I'm just interested in your words of wisdom in this, because I want to know. I want to know what the one thing is that you would say that you've learned, because you've obviously achieved some incredible.
A lot. I've learned, thank you. I've learned so much along the way, but I think the most important are twofold. One, you're not going to make everybody happy, so you might as well make yourself happy. Like you just...
That's a good one.
Everybody will have a critique. Like everybody will have... So you might as well make yourself happy. That's first. Be happy with yourself. And then the one that really, really hammered into me as I became one of the very few women, well, thankfully now not anymore, but when I started off, was the difference between being a failure and failing. Because there are two different things.
Yeah.
I was always so afraid to fail at something because of social, repercussion, what people think. I don't want to fail. But there's no shame in failing. In failing in something, it's not something you should be ashamed of. You're trying. Being a failure is failing and giving up and saying, I'm done.
That's true.
And I'm done. So they're two completely different things. Everyone that has done anything in history has failed in something or the other that led them to their greatness. But most people are too afraid. Even myself was so afraid to even just start because I don't want to fail. But honey, failing is tax of life. Like it's part of what you need to pay in order for you. Nothing comes easy. And if, again, like what we talked about, if it comes easy, question it. Like,
yeah,
there's something wrong.
Yeah, there's something.
If it comes easy,
with this.
There's something okay with, unless you're very, very lucky and you won the lottery, then, bravo, mabruk for you, yay.
But probably had quite a few failings on the way. You bought a few tickets.
Exactly. Or maybe you really needed it. And I really think that, or maybe that's a test for you. You winning the lottery is the biggest test for you to see if you can be a good person or be an ass. So not everything that comes for you in gold and ribbons is good for you. Not everything that's difficult for you is bad for you. So learning that and realizing that failures are lessons that you have to pay really made me more confident and more bold in just trying things and going out there and achieving things and just, not worrying too much about what people think. It stemmed from that understanding that they're two completely different things.
I love that.
To fail? Yeah, to fail is actually
doing
something.
I'm going to be
taking that
forward 100%.
Absolutely. Please do, because it really, especially women, we're so afraid that, notice the difference between men and women when they start new things. Men are more confident in being bad at things in the beginning. Like they're more they get more competitive, yes. But they're more confident in picking up something for the first time, as opposed to women. We're always like very cautious and trying to, to take the steps one by one. So yeah, that has really, really taught me a big, big lesson. As we say in Arabic, "Gadatik matin mel," which means that sitting with you will never be boring. But unfortunately, I know that you have to go, and I don't want to take too much of your time. It was such a pleasure, Charlie, to meet you. You're a great beacon for women everywhere, a great example of resilience, of determination,
you had a back injury and you came back, mashallah, stronger. And you proved that it doesn't matter if you're a woman, if it's meant for you and you have the time and the resilience, then it will be yours in the end. So I wish you the best of luck in your new chapter. Take time off. Go find a beach somewhere to chill for a while. You deserve it. Dubai has great weather now. It's the fantastic season at the moment. Allow yourself time to celebrate and to let your body that you've abused, because if you're anything like me, you've abused and you made that body suffer, give it its rightful rest before you tackle something new. So I wish you all the best, Charlie.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your time. It's lovely to speak to you.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the Quality of Life podcast, hosted by me, Raham Harrak, and produced by Pineapple Audio Production. Please do follow us and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And keep listening every Friday morning and Tuesdays for our mini bonus episodes.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.